Good morning, fight fans. Back here on CombatTalk.fm. My name is Leister. I'm your host. A couple of bits and bobs. This will be a quick episode, I think. As I mentioned on the previous, I'm going to be briefly mentioned about things on the wrestling side. I'm not talking about AEW's crap, but I am talking about if you were a fan of the old day WWF or even the WWE Attitude Era, you know, reality era, all these other eras that were passed, and then you stop watching the garbage because it turned into garbage, you know, they're pushing women's matches nobody wants to see. There's less sexy. There's, you know, we know why you stopped watching it, the shit, right? It's turned into crap. However, The Rock's back now. He's in a feud with Cody Rhodes along with Roman Reigns, and you got Paul Heyman in the mix. Seth Rollins is kind of garbage. He's a good dude, but I'm saying whatever. But The Rock. The Rock is the highlight. The Rock is, he's keeping the damn shit afloat at this point. Nobody else comes close to him. And I'm going to recommend to you to check out, he's on YouTube. All his segments are full segments on YouTube. Go check it out. I do recommend checking him out. He's back. He's the Hollywood Rock. He even brought back the Hollywood Rock theme. People are calling him Final Boss because of the way his entrance is. He's got like lightning and all this shit coming out. And he said it on air. He said, yeah, I'm the Final Boss. So he's listening to the voice of the fans as this thing's going. He basically is a heel that everybody likes. And he's getting cheers like crazy. And then Cody and Seth Rollins are starting to get booed. So it's comedy. I'm recommending you check it out because it's hilarious seeing a master at work, because that's what it is. He's a master at work. Nobody comes close. He keeps fucking up on the mic every now and then, but generally speaking, in that show, nobody comes close to this man, and he reignites what it used to be. The only thing missing from this whole thing is Stone Cold Steve Austin, because it's like, you think about, you know, what Austin and Dusty had, and then you think about the Texas tie-in, and it's a natural fit. Austin and Rock have unfinished business. They don't have Austin back. That's the only thing I think missing. Other than that, it's definitely worth your time. I do recommend checking it out, but I'm not suggesting watching the whole show. It's still a shit show, so don't get it twisted. You're not going to get the glory days of what that was back, because there's too much of a push trying to get these women in the ring when nobody wants to see that shit. You know, we want to see sexy women. That's what it is, and so they don't understand the demographic. But if you're a throwback watcher, I do recommend checking out The Rock on YouTube. See those segments. Again, I don't think it's going to entice you to watch the whole show because it's really just him at this point. Anyway, let's talk about some boxing here real quick. And some of these results I want to follow back up on. Kalajic versus Barrera was a pretty good fight for what it was. People said Kalajic got exposed. He didn't get exposed. I told you Sullivan Barrera was tough, but he's older. He was not going to win this fight, I didn't think. And I expected a stoppage, and that's what we saw. Kalajic got the stoppage. I think he looked pretty good doing it. I didn't have any complaints. It was a really good thing. And again, this is Pro Box. Show them some love. Make sure you check out Pro Box TV. Some people said that they don't like the presentation. I think it's throwback. I think it's really good. You know, the talk, you know, listening on the corner, highlighting the ring girls, the announcer in front of the ref. Like, there's throwback things about it. And somebody else said it's like basically Wednesday night fights from the old days. Yeah, kind of. Check out ProBox TV. I do recommend doing so. It's a really good deal. ProBoxTV.com. Check it out. The way their format works, I got a little bit more details on it, but the way their format works on this business is they sell tickets to the live event. And so when you're going into the site, you go and you buy the ticket to the live event. And if you miss the live event, then they stream it on their site after the fact. So like right now, you can go to ProBox TV, sign up an account, and then you can see the broadcast if you sign up. On ProBox TV's website, you can see the actual stream for that business. And then later, they'll post the fight after the fact as a recent event. So definitely show them some love. Now, let's go ahead and talk about our fights this weekend. We had a couple fights, most on DAZN. Out in the Chelsea in Las Vegas, 12 rounds at lightweight action. William Zepeda's back. He's fighting Maxie Hughes. Both solid, very good fight. I like it. Zepeda's undefeated. So that's, you know, people are looking at this and saying Zepeda's going to wash this guy. Maybe he does because, you know, Hughes had a rough time of it in his last fight out. But he's also durable. He's slightly older, but he's not crazy older. And they're both southpaws. So that I think Zepeda's going to have his work cut out for him. I think he's going to have all he can handle. I think he gets the W, but I think he's got all he can handle in this one. I don't think Hughes is going to lay down. I think he's going to fight his ass off all the way to the very end. Zepeda's a good guy. You know, I like watching him. I like what he brings to the table. I think he's got all of the tools, you know, to be a player in the business. I think he's stepping up a little bit too late, and I'd like to see him step up a little bit more than what he's done. But other than that, really good fight for what it is. vast majority of people think that Zepeda's going to knock out Hughes. Again, it's probable. You know, Zepeda's that solid. I'm just saying that he's got the work for that knockout if he does get it. Undercard, that same event, 12 rounds at featherweight action. Victor Morales fighting Luis Reynaldo Nunez. Solid fight. I didn't know either guy coming in, but solid fight for what it is. Both undefeated. Both young kids, both orthodox. Numbers even on the books. Numbers, same number of wins. It's a really good fight. This is a good fight. This one strikes me as it's going to be a really good technical match. Like you've got in Morales, a really highly skilled technical fighter. And in Nunez, you got a boxer puncher. So I think you have a really good contrast of styles on this one. I think it's going to be a good fight visually. I think it's going to come across really nice for people watching in the arena and at home. So if you get a chance to check this one out, I think of all the fights, this is probably the one that's going to stand out in your mind for what it is. Now, I would not expect Rock'em Sock'em Robots. That's not Morales' style. It has not been. And I don't think Nunez is going to be extremely aggressive, but I do think Nunez is, if he sees a opportunity to get the guy out of there, I think he's going to go after it. But I ultimately see a chess match. I see it's going to be a chess all the way up through the bell, 12-round bell for these two guys, but you're going to see high-level skill is my guess. Either that or a boring stinker, but I don't think it's going to be a stinker. I think it'll be technical. I think it'll be slow-paced at points. I think it may turn some people off, but I think ultimately, if you're a skill fan of skill, you're not going to be disappointed, is my gut speaking on that one. Undercard of that same event, 10 rounds at lightweight action. Floyd Schofield fighting Esteri Metivier. So Floyd Schofield, the story on him, right? There's footage of him. He was actually training at Mayweather's gym, and he was trained by Uncle Roger Mayweather back when he was like 6 years old. And he was around, and Floyd Sr. later started taking him under the wing. He's been in the game for a while. Next thing we know, for whatever reason, he doesn't go with like, you know, PBC or money team or any of that. But he's a really quality. He's quality. He really is a good kid. Power in both hands. He's solid as a boxer. He's young. He's rangy. He's good. He's a really good fighter. So check him out for sure. Suero is his official last name. Is his opponent, Metivier. But Suero is his official last name. And I watched him. He's a good dude too. I think he's been mismatched. So what happened is he got placed with guys that he easily could beat. And then he stepped up the one time. And after he stepped up, he took a loss, the decision loss. It's kind of like Michelle Rivera type situation where just the wrong time, wrong person, but he's back at it. And so I'm giving him kudos. He's not a slouch. He's got power. He's got everything. I think he just was pushed to that fight a little bit too soon. I don't think Suero's got anything for Schofield. I think Schofield's going to blow him out. And that's not dinging on Suero. It's just, look, Schofield's another level in my mind anyway. You know, I think he's just on another level. Now we're going to switch over to ESPN Plus in the U.S., TNT Sports in the U.K., Resorts World Arena in Birmingham in the U.K., 12 rounds at middleweight action. Nathan Heaney returns against Brad Paul. Solid fight for what it is. Really, really good fight for what it is. And the undercard's actually very good as well. We're going to go through that here in a minute. So I'm frustrated at a couple of the fights that I saw on the undercard, but overall it's a really good event compared to what you're going to get on DAZN. So the ESPN Plus, if you get a chance to only pick one, I would go with the ESPN Plus ones. The ESPN Plus has a more robust, in my opinion, set of fights, but the DAZN has better matchups. Like it seems like the DAZN has more equal level skill matched against each other. So depends what you want. If you want quantity over quality or quality over quantity. So, you know, Nathan Heaney, he's a great fighter, fantastic fighter. Love watching him fight, but he doesn't impress people. In his last outing, he didn't impress people. That said, his opponent, Brad Pauls, is not going to impress anybody. He's even less, and it's not skill. I'm just saying he's boring. You're going to see a stinker, in my opinion. You're going to see a stinker in that fight. If you do check it out because you support, you know, the UK fighters, but I think it's going to be a stinker of a fight. Undercard of that same event, 12 rounds at super bantamweight action. Eric Robles fighting Liam Davies, of course, top level in both. Eric Robles had the one loss that he took and then got rebounded. He's been good since. Boxer puncher, solid. Davies is boxer, straight up. And this one's interesting. So on the paper, when I look at it, Davies should easily win. If only because Davies seems to have more skill, he has more pro experience in the books, And he doesn't make as many mistakes as I saw Robles making in the fight where he took the L. But it could be that I get that completely wrong. And it could be that Robles pulls it out. I just don't see it. I see Davies gets a W on this one. It's not a mismatch. It's actually very well matched. I just think skill-wise, Davies is a level above what Robles can bring. What can Robles do to offset that? He's got to be an aggressor. He's got to go after that guy because Davies is not going to stand and trade. So you better go after his ass. Go after him. Don't let him move excessively. Go after him and do what you got to do to get him out of there prior to round 5, in my opinion. Undercard of the same event, 10 rounds at super bantamweight action. Dennis McCann fighting Brad Strand. Young talent once again. McCann's the southpaw. McCann is a frustrating one. I'll get that in a second. But numbers are roughly even, roughly same number of fights, roughly they debuted at the same time, roughly same number of pro fights. Really good matched fight. But like I was saying, McCann frustrates me. McCann has skill. It's like easy to see he's got skill, but he has lapses in judgment. So what happens is if you're able to take off his timing, so if you're able to knock his timing out of whack, he doesn't seem to have a plan B. So you watch him and you're like, come on, man, you're better than this. You know, you're better than this shit. And it's just frustrating watching him. He's a good fighter. He's a solid dude. And so he got a draw his last fight as a part of that. It's like you throw him off his rhythm and he just doesn't have a plan B. He's a southpaw and he's just good, but he doesn't maximize what he has. And so my concern is that he takes an L here soon. And Strand is, I think, good, decent enough where he could get an upset win. Because it would be an upset because Strand's resume is garbage. But Strand's just good enough where he could offset McCann and get cause him to take an L. Somebody's O's got to go on this one. I don't think it goes to a draw. I think somebody's going to take an L. And I wouldn't be surprised, I guess is what I'm saying, if Strand upset McCann. I would expect McCann, as good as he is, to dominate Strand. McCann has lapses in judgment that piss me off. Undercard of that same event, 10 rounds at welterweight action. Ethan James fighting Owen Cooper. Didn't know either guy. They're both undefeated. Numbers are roughly equivalent. Again, this is a very nicely matched fight for what it is. It's just the levels, right? You know, resumes. They're just a bunch of, UK guys kind of tossed together that just happen to have O's. I guess that's a good thing because it fleshes out who's going to go on to the next level. I'm just saying that it's nowhere close to what you have on DAZN. That said, if you like quantity, the ESPN Plus or the TNT Sports is what I would recommend. So again, it's not a horrible fight, but let's just be honest here. James is not, power is not his number one. And Cooper, he doesn't go for knockouts either. This one's probably going to be a stinker by my eyes. That's my call. Undercard, same event, 10 rounds of heavyweight action. Joe Joyce makes his return. He's fighting Cash Ali. And this one's got a lot of chatter on social media simply because it's Cash Ali. And Cash Ali, he's been on a 3-fight streak after he got DQ'd and he got a 3-fight streak and he stopped. Last two was a stoppage win for him. And so he's got some momentum, whereas Joe Joyce is coming off of 2 stoppage losses. So people are looking at Cash Ali to be the 3rd stoppage loss with Joe Joyce. Nobody knows what went wrong with Joe Joyce. Remember, this is the guy that was knocking people out before, and then all of a sudden he gets stopped out of the random blue, and he's not really been the same since. And he's older. You know, Joe Joyce is old. He's up there in age. And I don't think he was active enough during his career, and I think that hurt him because by the time he started stepping up, it was already too late. His body was starting to break down, and he's not able to fight at a high level. So it wouldn't surprise me if Cash Ali got the W here, because it feels like Joe Joyce is kind of slipping off. That said, if I'm looking at skill, Joe Joyce should wash this guy. I mean, just literally wash him. If we're talking skill, if we're talking power, if we're talking just finesse in the ring, Joe Joyce should wash the dude. This fight comes down to which version of Joyce shows up mentally. If he's all there, he easily washes Cash Ali. We just don't know if he's always there. If he's all the way there because of what happened to him, getting knocked out in his last 2 fights. So I think this one's worth watching, but I wouldn't expect it to go to the bell. If you're expecting to go to the bell, I don't see that it will. Undercard of that same event, 10 rounds at super middleweight action. Zach Parker fighting Tyron Zague. I had not heard of Zague at all. I think he's from, I don't know if he's from Romania or something. I don't know. But I had not heard of him before. I watched some footage. I mean, he's, for who he's matched against, I guess he looks okay, but he doesn't strike me as somebody who's upper level either. And then Parker's decent, but he makes silly mistakes at times. So what happens is he leaves himself open for shots. And if the right person's in there against him, he doesn't seem to have an answer. He's been matched very well. Zayg seems to be matched very well. So I guess it's ironic that they're going against each other, right? Zayg is just boxing. He's going to go in and try. And I saw he tries. He tries. But I don't think he's going to have anything for Parker, because Parker's power is significantly greater than what I saw from Zayg. I suspect Parker gets a stoppage on that one. That's my call. That's all I can think about it. The last one I see on the card of that same event, 10 rounds of super lightweight action. Pierce O'Leary fights Hovhannes Martirosyan. This one is an interesting fight. So they're both undefeated guys, and they're roughly equivalent on the books as far as numbers. They're roughly stylistically the same, so it's an intriguing match. I looked at a little bit of footage. Martirosyan strikes me as decent, not great, and again, matched very selectively well. Leary strikes me as raw potential. It strikes me as he's, like, if he had a different trainer, I think he could be more than what he is. Leary strikes me as he takes his foot off the gas too much at times. It doesn't seem to bother him. Like, he seems to be able to get W's easy, but I don't like seeing him take his foot off the gas. He's 24 years old. I want to see more from him because, again, I see some, there's something there with raw potential. If he had the right trainer to kind of up his throttle a little bit, I think he could be a player. So this will be a good test fight, I think. If you want to see something where you just have two even matched guys, this is one to watch in this one, in my opinion. That's all I got on the boxing side. And like I said, do recommend you check out The Rock's promos for WWE, even if you don't watch the shit anymore because they don't do like they're supposed to. But The Rock is killing it. He's absolutely killing it, and it'll give you throwback. You know, you can't be sensitive because he's doing sensitive stuff. He's calling out crackheads and talking about people's moms. And trust me, they're censoring some of the stuff that he's saying because they have to for broadcast, but he's throwback. So if you're oversensitive about that shit, then don't do it. But I do recommend it if you were a fan, if only to kind of remember what it was like. And plus to see how he's exposing how bad everybody else is. He's exposing just how piss poor everybody else is on the promos. None of them come close to him right now. Not even Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns was considered one of the top promo guys in the business right now. And they're saying Cody Rhodes is a top promo guy because he sounds like Dusty Rhodes. It's not even close. When you listen to The Rock, The Rock is just smashing all of them on the mic. Nobody in that touches him. Nobody in the business touches The Rock right now, which is just an indictment on the business and how much it's declined. Because you got guys like a CM Punk. I would say even CM Punk can't touch The Rock on what he was doing, what he's doing now. It's arguably The Rock's best work. It's easily his best work, best promos. He is fucking up at times on names and that kind of stuff. But in terms of the energy, in terms of the focus, in terms of the camera work, in terms of the music, the entrance, and him embracing what social media is saying and kind of just rolling with it, it's his best work of his entire, in my opinion, career. It's better than Hollywood Rock. He's basically a hybrid of Hollywood Rock and McMahon. The evil McMahon character. That's basically what he is because he's on the board. So he throws that in the promos all the time. I'll take the belt from you. I'll do this. So if you think the worst hybrid of the two top, you know, evil villains in the business, that's what he is. So he calls himself the final boss because people online say that's what he looks like. It's like his music, everything. He's like a final boss and he's killing it. So definitely check him out if you were a fan at any time. I'm not saying watch the whole damn show. Please don't. Just the promos on YouTube. Check it out. See what you think on that stuff. The other piece I'll talk about real fast, just real quick. So this circus fight that's been booked, Jake Paul fighting Mike Tyson, allegedly it's going to be an exhibition, that's what I was told. Another circus fight. And here's the thing. Jake Paul has been calling out Canelo Alvarez. Mike Tyson, he basically carried Roy Jones to a draw. So nobody, in my opinion, the fight only draws because it's Jake Paul. It doesn't draw anymore because it's Mike Tyson. Because Mike Tyson himself, he should be fighting guys that where it's a threat to him because he's still a threat. He's still dangerous. He still has the power. He still has some of his skill. And so I would like to have seen Tyson in there with somebody that's a little bit of a threat. I'm not talking about the major whatever, but somebody that's a little bit of a threat where we never got to see that fight in the prime. You know, let's do an exhibition with Tyson and Foreman, right? You know, that's what I would want to see. And then let proceeds go to charity or something for fighters that are hurt or ill or in comas or something. That's what I want to see. Not And Jake Paul said, oh, I'm donating this, that, the other. That's fine. And he's done great stuff for the business. I'm not dismissing that. I'm saying I would rather see Tyson used in a better way against a better opponent. Whereas Jake Paul, in my opinion, should stay the hell away from Canelo Alvarez until he solves. I mean, the dude's got Tommy Fury problems, you know, so let's keep levels what they are and let's get the business back on track. And the Saudis are doing good stuff because they're pumping money into the thing. And we got to see what's happening with Amazon and PBC. I'm not going to be subscribing for that shit because I refuse. I'm not paying a pay-per-view. If it was included in Prime, I would watch it because, you know, but I'm not paying pay-per-view for that shit either. So, you know, as far as watching boxing, Pro Box is all we got left that's doing it right. You know, the rest of them are just whatever. So there may come a time, the reason I'm prefacing and saying all this is there may come a time when I have to stop doing the show because, again, if they're going to just make it increasingly harder to watch the shit, I'm not going to do it. The only possible saving grace is the potential rise again of Don King. Because if you didn't know, Don King just signed Blair the Flair Cobb. So now Don King has Makabu, the heavyweight. He has Adrian Broner, Blair the Flair Cobbs, and there was one other person that he's got. And then there was a gal I think he signed. So Don King is somehow finding money to pay these fighters. So he's trying to make a rise. And in the Don King era, he made sure everybody could see that shit because he wanted to make sure everybody's getting paid, including him. So if he's able to save the business, I'll watch it again. Other than that, I'm giving the warning. There may come a time when I'm no longer able to do at least the boxing side of the show because I'm not going to go to 12 different services just to watch the different fights. We've got to get back some sanity. And cable helped with that a lot. With the decline of cable, we're losing some of that spirit. So we'll see what happens in the future.